So a lot of people have correctly recognized and acknowledged that social media has effectively driven us crazy. A lot of people, I believe, are correct in this analysis, or in this conclusion, rather, in the sense that before social media, there was always the potential that we might be driven crazy by some sort of media apparatus, but it never really happened to the same degree. There was something different about the most modern incarnation of social media, something different about the way that we interacted with the internet, and the internet interacted back with us. And of course, before there was social media, there was the internet, but it wasn't quite as bad. And before there was the internet, there was television, and it was by no means as bad. So we're definitely in a pickle. And when you look at all the divisions between human beings these days, the inability to communicate, the inability just to get along, to agree on anything, to reach any sort of consensus on the state of the world, on knowledge, on just about any topic, you can largely blame social media for this phenomenon. And this analysis, or this conclusion, or perhaps better put, this observation that social media has driven us crazy, is not really remarkable. After all, many of us have come to this conclusion. You need only open your eyes and perk up your ears, and you see what's going on. What tends to be lacking, though, when we talk about how destructive social media has been for us as a species, is the reasons why. And there are a lot of psychological reasons that we could talk about, but what I want to do in this video is talk a little bit about the linguistic reasons, or even a lot, because A, I have some background in linguistics, and B, when we talk about the way social media interacts with us, it's rarely from a linguistic and or language-based perspective. It's mostly from a psychological one, which has its validity too, mind you, but it's something different. So let's look at one element to begin with social media that is highly destructive, and that is the text-based nature of a lot of social media. The biggest culprit here is probably Twitter, or X as it's called these days, because you have to write and text everything to people if you're communicating with them. Now, it used to be very severe and strict with its character limit. The joke was 140 characters. That has been expanded substantially. And you had the same phenomenon with YouTube comment sections. Back in the day, you had a limited amount of characters. Now you can write literal novels if you so choose. And you have forums and many, many places online that are part of the social media apparatus, whether they're big or small, are unfortunately relegated to the realm of text and writing. Now, it's important to note here that language is primarily an oral medium, and we're going to talk more about that in a bit. But what's happened to our brains, and even just speaking culturally, is that through the fact that we have so much text, and this was also sort of the case with books, but much less so, but above all with the internet, what's happened is that we've come to associate language primarily with the written word. But the written word is secondary at best and ultimately derivative of spoken language. Most languages in the world still to this day don't have writing. And writing is a very, 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 very young phenomenon, maybe 6,000 years old at best. But we've come to associate writing with language. That's a psychological thing, but it's also the incorrect perception. Because the problem with writing as a means of communication is that by dint of the fact that it's artificial, it lacks the formal qualities of language that allow us to communicate A, effectively, and B, in a way that is not going to be misconstrued. Now, don't get me wrong, you can still communicate face-to-face with someone and have a lot of things being misconstrued. It's just a question of degree. When you have a written text, one of the most important things that's missing is tone. And language is simply undergirded by tone. Every language in the world has this. And no, I'm not referring to tonal languages such as Thai, Vietnamese, or Chinese, but rather inflection, how you engage in speech, how you stress things, the softness, the pitch. And again, I'm not referring to pitch-based languages such as Swedish or Japanese, but rather, how is the cadence of your speech? How are you modulating that and mediating that in order to communicate something? And we all do this instinctively when we talk to somebody. Depending on the person's station, our relationship to them, are they our sibling, are they a partner, are they somebody we simply work with at the office, are they a child, are they a rando, are they a stranger? All these things contribute to tone, inflection, and all these other factors that are very important in human language and communication. But what happens with text? Well, with text, basically all of that is missing. You could claim that you could simulate that, and some people indeed do. If you've ever observed the way women communicate in text, it is laden with emojis, typically smileys, winks, laughing, that sort of thing. And they do this to basically mimic the kind of tone, inflection, and cadence you would normally have in spoken speech, but is impossible to convey in text because women are more invested in communicating emotions and feelings and this sort of thing. And everyone does this, including men. It's just that women are typically more heavily invested in this. And they do this as well to disarm the potential acerbity of certain comments, comments that in a normal context online would just be sitting there in text form without any sort of tone or inflection to give you a sense of how it's being conveyed. People generally, but very specifically women, will do this very frequently to add these various elements that are a natural component of spoken speech. But not everyone does this, and emojis and smileys and what have you, they only have a limited effect. So what is the end result of this? Well, the end result of this is that even fairly benign comments written in text, even neutral comments, can be incorrectly perceived. They can be understood in the wrong way. And who's to say it's the wrong way when you don't have an interlocutor that you're speaking with, communicating face-to-face, and we'll get into that aspect in a bit, who can tell you via gesticulation, via facial expression, via stress, intonation, and inflection, what it is they're trying to convey to you. If you don't have any of that, and all you have is a bunch of words on a page, or a screen in this case, you are very liable to interpret the worst possible thing out of it. That's what we do as human beings. We tend to be drawn towards the negative. In a neutral context that could be either positive or negative, we're much more likely on average to see the negative potentiality of anything because that's just how we are. It's related to survival and risk assessment and this sort of thing. This also applies, by the way, to the written language and language in general. So we will see text, and even if it's neutral, we might interpret the worst thing possible. This leads then down the line to some pretty copious miscommunication. People get inflamed. They start misunderstanding each other. They start disliking each other based on effectively just a lack of tone and inflection in the written text. For all the reasons I've just cited, the fact that written language is artificial at best. And then you end up in this terrible situation where people are no longer really getting along, whereas they might very well have done so in real life. It becomes an impossibility in the written text world of social media and online discourse. And this happens again and again and again. And if you've ever looked at the cesspit of Twitter, that is probably ground zero for the mutual misapprehension of each other as human beings, simply because, again, text is severely lacking in conveying certain things. Now, don't get me wrong. Writing and text has been an invaluable tool for human beings, and civilization simply would not exist in its current form without the invention of writing. But it also has its downsides, and there's no better downside than Twitter or X when you look at it on full display, driving people mutually mad in the process of writing and texting to each other, all because of those key elements that are required in spoken communication, because that is what language is. It's a spoken medium above all, an auditory, an oral medium. That is what happens when you have huge swaths of the social media landscape simply based on text, because writing is artificial and it lacks certain key points that we need in order to communicate effectively. Okay, so that's writing. That's one component. But you might argue, well, Thinking Ape, the thing is, there's a lot of media that's spoken. Videos, film, and what have you. Of course, a lot of social media these days, especially when you look at, say, YouTube, is oral and auditory, and even visual in some cases. So you might have somebody putting up a video explaining something to you, as in how you do X, Y, Z. And those are the types of videos that are unlikely to lead to a lot of miscommunication, a lot of incenseness, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, if somebody's just trying to explain to you how you properly bake a pizza pie, or how you grow tomatoes properly, or how you do planks properly, or what have you. That's not really what I'm talking about. And in that context, it's fine and sufficient, even and especially in a written context, to get back to the former points. But when it comes to tricky issues, issues of politics, issues of science, issues of intense human emotion, that's when we run into problems. Because even with the oral and the auditory, which adds increased layers of nuance and the ability to better communicate with each other, in many cases, you're not going to see the person communicating with you. Now, on the other hand, there are a lot of things out there in the social media landscape that have all those components. They have the auditory, they have the oral, and they have the visual. But even then, when you look into it more deeply, you have to realize that we co-evolved with language for the purpose of communicating very much in a direct way with each other, very frequently face-to-face, and with all the attendant features that tend to go along with that, such as gesticulation, which I've mentioned before, facial expressions, all these things. And seeing that up close, being able to interpret that one-on-one, gives you a much better reading of the lay of the land in terms of your interlocutor, the person you're communicating with, than a screen ever could. So even in such a case where you have the auditory cues, where you have proper oral communication, and you can actually see the speaker, visually speaking, it's very different. And here's the test, here's the trick. How do you feel in a live situation when you have to go and speak to someone? Maybe you feel nervous, you don't know the person, you're uncomfortable around them, versus listening or watching somebody online whom you may not like very much. Does it evoke the same feelings? Does it evoke the same psychological response? Well, no, it doesn't. So you might not like someone such as Sargun of Dakar, and you watch him, and you might think he's arrogant, but that's a very different feeling from sitting across a table from Sargun of Dakar and then speaking to him at length, because the feeling that's going to be evoked there is very different. And that's true of even positive interactions and ways of communicating. Because again, even with the auditory, oral, and visual cues, you're still not getting the whole picture that you otherwise would in the case of face-to-face communication. All the things that go along with it. Tone, inflection, stress, cadence, facial expression, gesticulation. It's a total package. And the way you react to that total package is always markedly different live IRL as compared to online, even in those cases where you do have the visual stuff added, so you might be able to see some facial expressions, but it doesn't register the same way, and this has been proven again and again and again. So when you look at the big picture of why social media has driven us crazy, obviously there are these psychological aspects, you know, tribalism and what have you, they contribute hugely. But in terms of the causative elements, how we got into this mess in the first place, I really think the reason is because social media warps and twists human language, sort of misappropriates it in a certain sense, which then leads to perpetual miscommunication, antagonism, and due to our human tendency and psychology of interpreting and assuming things to be the worst case scenario, you end up in the situation, to quote Mick Jagger in his song, "I want to see it all painted black." You are going to see everything in the worst possible light, especially if there's any potential for disagreement or not getting along. And that is exactly what happens with heavy use of text-based media, for all the reasons I've already enumerated, as well as the insufficient aspects of auditory, oral, and visual communication vis-a-vis social media. Because again, you're not getting the whole picture. And due to the psychological front-loading, such as various biases you might have against the person, there's rarely going to be any room for charity or anything of the sort. So at the end of the day, as with so many other things in our human civilization, social media and its misappropriation of human language is maladaptive, because language did not evolve in this context. It didn't evolve to be written. Writing is a useful tool. It has its limitations, and it certainly did not evolve to be projected over the radio, the television, or even in videos online, because even there you're missing key components that are essential for the purposes of effective human communication that can mitigate some of the worst and most negative interpretations of any given communication you might have with another human being. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. Thank you so much. You have my everlasting gratitude. And if everyone can hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos, it'd be much appreciated. And engage in the usual YouTube jazz of leaving comments, subscribing to my channel if you've not yet subbed, liking the video, maybe sharing the video. It's all much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until the next time, may God truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now.
If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.